All right. Welcome, everyone. I have awoken from my slumber. when you get to burning the candle at both ends, sometimes you realize you're not in your 20s anymore.
Yeah.
So, episode 20 of Parts of Art.
So, TO went over a little over a year, right? Like, did we start in April or something last year?
I think it has officially been a year, and took a few month break there. So
hibernation
in the winter time, and then we come out like a roaring grizzly in the spring. So, but anyways, so what's been going on, Mike?
Not much, man. Other than moving back down south. That's pretty much been the majority of the last 2 weeks, really, boxing up, packing, loading, driving down, unloading, unboxing.
that sounds terrible.
it's not that fun, really.
Well, I know when you told me earlier today, and we've kind of spoke about this off air, like, said thrilled to have you and look forward to hanging out, maybe doing some pods in person in the future, but let's just dive right on in to to some stuff. I don't think the word Disney was mentioned last week, so
I did mention it. I was talking about the price.
Okay.
The Disney Plus price, I just vaguely, very briefly mentioned it. $6.99?
Yeah, $6.99, which I think is a tremendous price for what they're giving you. you're getting all the classic Disney movies from Snow White all the way up to Frozen and beyond. I mean, all that stuff. You're getting all 30 seasons of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Obviously it makes sense with the Fox purchase, but right out of the gate, just those two things alone, I'd pay $6.99 for. Also, with those two things, kind of comes an interesting censorship. We've talked about The Simpsons censoring the Michael Jackson episode, and you actually sent me something about the Song of the South, and how that won't be on the service.
Right.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, because I vaguely remember that movie. I seen it maybe once or twice when I was young. And what I can remember about that movie, it was a fairly racist movie that probably needs to just stay in the past. But at the same time, it kind of goes, perhaps it needs to be seen, or I mean, there's a fine line there. And it really makes me wonder, you know, obviously with The Simpsons and with that, what else will be censored and what else maybe will be edited? And
well, that's where the tricky part comes in. That's where it scares me. It's not like whatever that, I mean, there's been plenty of movies that have been made that should have never been made.
Yeah.
I mean, that's reality. But, you know, not only are they taking a movie away, they're taking scenes away from certain movies, you know, like the Dumbo thing there. It's just, it's alarming, because now if you look at life, we're always changing, evolving, things are, you know, progressing or whatever. There's enlightenment as we go. I suppose, you know, if you look at politically correctness, you know, and things like that, things of that nature, to a sensitive ear or whatever. You can look at movies from the 80s and 90s and probably ban over half of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, for one reason or another, they're not politically correct anymore.
Yeah.
So what point does it get to be, oh, well, this is going to upset somebody, so we probably should not show it or watch it. You know, it gets to the point where it's like, there are so many movies, so many classic movies, they might have one scene that you go, oh, that's kind of whatever, you know, sexist, racist, something, you know. Just take The Shining, for example. The ghost character, the guy who is chopping up his daughters. He refers to the guy who shines, who comes after him, you know, in a derogatory manner.
Mm-hmm.
To some people, that would be insensitive and shouldn't be in there. Is that scene going to be taken out in 10 years? I'm just saying, I don't know. Art is supposed to be subjective. It's supposed to be something that you can do to express yourself. And it's not always just like pleasantries, you know?
Right. And I fear, as we've talked about on here before, we're moving towards an all digital future. I think in a lot of ways it's great. I'm all for it. But at the same time, the more companies, especially Disney, control these properties, be it The Simpsons, be it Star Wars, be it whatever, it moves fully to that full digital, all digital future, and you're paying $6.99, $9.99, what have you. That's what you're going to have. You won't have a choice unless you actually go back to your old VHS, DVDs, or Blu-rays to see the uncensored version. And eventually, it's simply going to be, well, remember when that scene in Dumbo wasn't edited, or the scene in The Shining wasn't edited, or whatever? And it's like, no, I don't. And then you have to dig through. And I mean, I agree. I think art, very great point. Art is supposed to be subjective and just, you know, be out there. And I think in a lot of ways, as a society, we've kind of grown overly sensitive. So it's a fine line to walk, and I don't know how well they're going to walk it. So,
well, I mean, when it comes to, I mean, you know, obviously it's Disney's platform. They can choose what they want to put on there or not. But like, I could even see maybe omitting a movie that they don't want to do. You know, they don't want to have on there. I mean, that wouldn't cause so much speculation as changing scenes or omitting scenes in movies, and they're going to put the movie on there. Because that's just blatant censorship right there, you know. So that stuff is the stuff that worries me the most. But when it comes to older, look, there is no better argument for physical copies than this, because digital, taking stuff out of digital and also out of newer prints of even physical, you know, makes you want to go, hey, maybe I should buy the collection, you know.
Oh, certainly. I mean, it's just to get the uncensored version of a lot of this stuff. But we shall see, I suppose, how they handle that.
It just like back in the day, Cannibal Holocaust, you know, was such a, oh my God, we never watched that. Like, it's such a taboo sort of thing. And then we evolved to a point where it's like, whatever, it's a movie, you know? Yeah. And then I think we're digressing into something that, you know, we probably shouldn't do. But definitely, like I said, no more of a better argument for physical. And I have an argument for physical right now. I was talking to Tuck and telling him, you know, hey, right now they're taking a week and a half to turn on our internet down here in Nashville. For some reason, it's taking that long. I'm like, well, I'm glad I've got a bunch of physical copies, because, you know.
Yeah.
Dang it. So there are different pros for that.
Oh, for sure. So staying on the topic of Disney, I think last week or the week before, there was news came out that said they are looking to basically buy Hulu. I think they control 70%, and they being Disney, and they're looking to buy the remaining 30% from Comcast. So this is certainly interesting, because they're going to launch their own streaming service, but yet they would control another very viable streaming service that just released. They have like 26 million subscribers, so it's not just some startup streaming service that they're going to control. I found this to be very interesting, and there was already rumors that when they do this, if they do this, there will be bundles later on this year with like Hulu, Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, basically all the Disney streaming services in like a nice little bundle, which would be smart.
Yeah.
It's curious to me Like, perhaps they would have the Disney Plus for the kids and young adults, and then Hulu for the more to put your Deadpool movies on and things like adult. You know, I could see the business strategy there. So what say you? I mean, obviously Disney's buying everything all the time, but this one's kind of interesting.
Well, I think we talked about this a while back, you know, that we thought that that would be their go-to thing to try to buy up Hulu. So I don't think it's that big of a shock. I think that probably, you know, as long as they keep it as it is, maybe add more Fox titles to it, but keep it as it is, you know, that might be a really good good point for them, because that, you know, it does bring in more people that aren't just wanting Disney and Marvel and whatever's going to be on Plus. But yeah, you know, it just they can put more stuff on there, but yet still maybe license some stuff from other companies on there. Still do the kind of episode the day after thing that they're doing now, the formula, and if, you know, and that would be just another audience that they would have. So bundle it all together, and yeah, they're just taking every aspect that people are trying to consume media and just trying to have it for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I actually found myself watching a lot more Amazon Prime lately, but I mean, obviously I watch a lot of Prime, Netflix, and Hulu. I would say it's probably a close race between Hulu and Amazon Prime as to what I watch the most of, but I mean, it's right there, so it's pretty interesting that, yeah, again, Disney's just swiping up everything they can, and it makes me wonder what will happen to the Hulu Live streaming service. I mean, I would imagine it would stay afloat, but I mean, if Comcast doesn't have a stake in the game, then why would... Yeah. So that could be very interesting, and obviously Comcast has Xfinity, and they're in competition, so that, I mean, it could be very interesting.
All right.
So... moving on, I actually found another piece to this story that I sent you just a couple of hours ago. So 50 years ago, this August, was Woodstock, obviously a landmark musical and cultural event. Had a couple redos since then, 94 and 99. And there was going to be a 50th anniversary show, and why not? I mean, it's a big milestone in the lineup. Jay-Z, Greta Van Fleet, The Killers. I mean, it was some big name bands. But now, apparently, it's canceled. Yeah. So I sent you the article earlier. But apparently, another wrinkle to the story is they still plan to have this.
It's still going to happen.
And this just does not sound good. This could potentially be Woodstock 99 all over again. I don't know. Basically, this other article I was kind of digging around for, but before we got on here, after the festival was allegedly canceled by investors, which was coinciding with what I sent you, Woodstock co-founder Michael Lang pushed back against the claims, stating that the investors didn't have the right to cancel the festival. Okay. And basically they canceled it after receiving word that the venue's capacity shrunk by 50%. They would need a minimum of 100,000 to make a go at it. And it shrunk considerably. So, you know, they pulled the plug on that, but apparently the founder's like, no, we're going to still try this. So more to come on that. I really that's not a good sign. I don't know if these bands or artists have been paid up front. Like, that's another thing. You know, I mentioned it. We kind of briefly talked about Woodstock 99 and what a disaster that was. But as you mentioned, it was kind of a miracle that they pulled it off. So, you know, it's kind of a testament to these festivals now, the Bonnaroos, the Coachellas and things of that nature, that they are so well organized and get these big name acts, but a lot of them have honestly gone corporate. So, and I think you probably need that in this environment, because I think Woodstock 99 kind of proved, and even the early Bonnaroos, that if you kind of have that fringe corporate entity on it, it's you can be on shaky ground.
So. Right, yeah. There's a lot of, I know a lot of deaths there for a couple of those Bonnaroos, you know, just not as well organized and just not prepared to deal with that many people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man, how I feel about it. I feel like Woodstock itself is probably, you know, it was that time, you know, for people to really just, I mean, if you think about it back then, I mean, I feel like, you know, in the 60s, you know, in that era, but when Woodstock happened itself, you know, people were just really, really like listening to music, and it was really much a part of the culture. And obviously it wasn't as the way it is now, where like everybody's listening to music, but they're listening to their own thing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a little bit different. You know, you had kind of the superstars of music back then, I guess you would say, as opposed to now. I mean, there are some big names, but I don't know. I feel like if you're really listening to music, you know, you could be listening to anything that half the world never heard of, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But really, I think that the mentality of just the people, you know, we're talking about the hippie movement and just the way it all went down was probably not something they're going to completely recapture, you know, even 50 years later.
No.
So, you know, I mean, it would just probably have to be some sort of Bonnaroo-esque, Coachella-esque event. And not probably anything that would be any sort of imitation of what the original one was back in the day.
Oh, certainly. And another interesting point is something I've been noticing, because, you know, obviously one of my favorite bands is The Killers. I'm noticing them and a few other acts wearing this festival scene out. And I got me thinking, you know, how beneficial is it for them to play 6-7 festivals a year rather than be on the road 6 to 8 months out of the year? So I'm just wondering, now I don't know what these bands are getting paid. I don't know how exactly what the business behind it is, and if it is more lucrative and popular, or lucrative for the band to, you know, play these festivals, perhaps they're getting, if they're paid, say, $2 million, I don't know, just spitballing, paid $2 million, they get, you know, all that, or they're you know, the group and the business behind the group gets all that, rather than the money being divvied up so many different ways on a tour. I don't know. It could be way off of that, but I honestly think it could possibly make sense to play 6 or 7 festivals rather than be on the road. I mean, surely the schedule would be more beneficial to the band.
Sure. Yeah.
So okay. More to come on Woodstock for sure. So yeah, as we mentioned, fairly light week on news. So is there anything else you're wanting to discuss, talk about?
Not really. Maybe you should just let everybody know that you're back playing music again. Yeah.
Going on tour in July. No. no. Yeah, just been playing with some guys that I work with, and played with our buddy Tuck and another buddy of ours, David. Just kind of rekindling that old itch and flame of getting together with some people, making noise that sounds good. So
you broke out your keyboards? You hadn't been playing in a while, right?
Yeah. I would say it's probably been 3 or 4 years since I've really played anything. Like, I would peck around on it, but anything of note, no pun intended, And yeah, it's, I forgot how fun it is to just, like I said, make some noise that sounds halfway decent and just really, really get into that. It's kind of, I guess, cathartic in some ways.
All right.
So, yeah.
Well, now that you're doing some of these covers and rehashing some of the older songs, are you itching to maybe create some new work as well?
Maybe. We'll see. I've thought about that, but that's going to have to be something for me at least, and I'm sure it was the same for you. I can't, like, all right, I'm playing music again. I'm not going to be like, all right, now fuck it, I'm going to write a song. You know, no. Like, it's especially like I listen and I was reading through some old notebooks and stuff when I was going through my keyboard bag and. Like, holy shit, this was a different time. Like, I mean, just the music and everything and lyrics are still good, but it's just like, I don't think I can write that now. So I'm going to try, you know, maybe if I get in the mood, let something come to me. But I don't know if it would be like what I wrote, you know, 10 years ago. So,
all right.
But yeah, just fun stuff. Making art again, contributing art. So,
all right, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So what have you been watching? I'll tell you what I haven't been watching is fucking Avengers.
Yeah, I haven't got around to that either. But I hear a few people went and saw it.
Yeah, just a few. I can attest to that. My wife and I went to the theater earlier tonight, and 99.9% of the time, I have forethought, especially with a movie this big, to buy tickets in advance. The 1.1%, the one time out of 100 that I don't, it's sold out. Or, well, the showings weren't sold out. It was... they did not have two seats together. Yeah. So essentially for us, it was sold out. So it's like,
yeah. Yeah.
So, all right.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I think it made $350 million last week. I've been reading it's tracking for $150 million this week. I mean, that's just silly.
I hear fights have ensued over spoilers.
Yeah, I mean, I've already read a couple of spoilers, not really meaning to, but it's just there. Like, I'm scrolling through news feeds online or on Reddit or whatever. It's not even like spoiler warning. It's just like, hey, blah blah blah.
I've been pretty fortunate. I have not seen anything like that, but I definitely haven't been online that much, but I've been moving, so I don't know. I need to go see it soon. So what they were doing, I guess in maybe New York or somewhere in a bigger city, somebody treated it just like a scalpers would do concerts. They bought all the tickets for the place for opening night for Avengers Endgame, and then they were selling them on eBay for like $100 a piece.
Just,
or more, and people were buying them. Some people were. I'm like, what is going on? It's a movie.
Yeah, it's not a once in a lifetime. Like 3 months later, it's going to be out on Blu-ray. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, all right. So,
well, so again, you know, being busy, I haven't watched a whole ton of stuff. But I did watch a few things. I watched that Happy Death Day to You.
Okay.
The sequel to the first one. which I enjoyed the first one. I don't know if you saw the first one, but it was cute. It was fun. You know, it wasn't heavy or anything like philosophical or anything like that, but it was just a lot of fun. And this one, I mean, it continues it. It's not too bad. Again, I don't go into these things with high expectations. Just kind of enjoy it, have a little fun, and it serves that purpose. I mean, it's not probably not as good as the first, but it was all right. Definitely watchable. I watched Serenity, and no, not the Josh Whedon Firefly Serenity, but that new one, Matthew McConaughey, Anne Hathaway.
I have not heard of it. Okay, this go on, because I like both of those people.
Okay, it's kind of a sort of a thriller situation where he's kind of kind of a fisherman, and she kind of he lives on this weird town or weird island, and she kind of comes there one day, and it's obvious they know each other, and she kind of asks him for a favor, a very wild favor, and it just kind of goes from there. It was an okay movie. I think it was all right. It wasn't great or anything. And there's something about these movies that have this twist at the end that, you know, I don't even look for twists, you know, but they're not M. Night Shyamalan in me here, because I do figure them out before. So they're giving way too much away, I think, for some reason. But, yeah, I mean, it's watchable. It's definitely worth a watch, I guess. But nothing like great or anything like that. For the most part, I watched bits and pieces of the Lego 2 movie. The kids have been watching it. I've caught little pieces. I haven't said I watched the whole thing. But what I've watched, I enjoyed. I watched a few little indie horror movies. Killer Pad. This one was directed by Robert Englund, Freddy Krueger fame. Yeah, he directed a couple little horror movies back in the day. They're not great or anything, but they're, you know, kind of funny. A couple other things is on Vudu was The Dentist 1 and The Dentist Part 2. Those are kind of cringe-worthy if you hate the dentist and things that happen to your teeth. There was a little indie horror film on Netflix called Thriller. This one just came out. It wasn't that great. It was kind of a prom night ripoff in a way. I watched that movie Destroyer, the Nicole Kidman one. That's on Hulu. Just came out. It was pretty good. It wasn't bad. It was about her, you know, being an undercover cop and some of the crazy paths it takes you. I watched a couple of episodes of this show Quicksand that's on Netflix. It's a Swedish show, but they've dubbed it in English. But it's so far, what I gather, it's about a school shooting. The focus is on this girl who was with this guy, who was in love with this guy, this rich guy, who went to school and shot up a bunch of people. But I'm only two episodes in, so I don't know the whole story. But all I know is she actually shot him during the thing, but she's in jail. It's okay so far. I don't know. It's you know, timely, I guess you would say. Again, I haven't really been watching much of anything lately because we have no internet. So I've been breaking out some of the discs, and I broke out a couple of the seasons of the Tales from the Crypt.
Okay.
I've been watching that. I started with season one, about halfway through season two. It's been a while since I've checked those out. And the only other thing was today, after you mentioned it, I knew it was coming, but I'd forgotten when it was. I did get on my phone, because my phone still has capabilities, and watched that Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil, and Vile, Ted Bundy.
Haven't watched that yet. We were going to, and then we got to yapping and talking, and yeah, it's good.
Overall, I think it was good. It's hard to say like it was amazing or I was shocked or appalled by it, because I've seen so much on Ted Bundy and read about him, seen other movies about him based on that story. So nothing was surprising or anything. Obviously, I knew the whole thing, but their angle was, it's different. It's not a horror movie or anything like that. It's very much a drama. Their angle was more based on, I guess, through the lens of his girlfriend, the one who he was with, not the one that he married, you know, in court, but the she's in there too, but the one that he was with for many, many years and never knew anything about. But, you know, I mean, Zac Efron, you know, he's got the look. I mean, he is kind of perfect to play Ted Bundy. I mean, all in all, it was very good acting and everything. I mean, again, if you know the whole story, I mean, it was a little boring in parts because it wasn't, I mean, it's just things I already know. So I was just, it wasn't new to me or anything, I guess you'd say. But there isn't like there's no action or anything like that. Even though like he done some horrible things, you're not going to see that stuff in this movie. So if that's what you're looking for, even though you look at the title, the title is just about him and but that it's not what you're going to get. You're not getting a horror movie with this. This is definitely just a drama. And some people might say it's almost insensitive because it doesn't focus on the victims. Because I know they said that about the tapes. But it doesn't at all. I mean, it doesn't focus on the victims at all. I mean, this is really just about him. Really, mostly his interactions with her. But yeah, it just kind of jumps around from state to state as he kind of went on the run.
Zac Efron has surprisingly turned into a decent actor in terms of taking on some adult roles. I liked him in Dirty Grandpa.
Dirty Grandpa, yes.
Mm-hmm. The movie where they took the two chicks to the wedding.
Mike and somebody need wedding dates.
He's and I actually thought he done well in The Greatest Showman. He's kind of grown. You know, I see him on the watching because he's built like a brick shit house. So, you know, he's carving out a good little career for himself. So what else you been watching, or is that pretty much it?
That's pretty much it, man. What about you?
I've watched a couple things. Like I said, I've been watching a lot of Amazon Prime. Something you need to check out. There's really no explanation. I'm not going to go into great detail on this, but a movie on there called Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies. Pretty much all in the title. It's actually got some famous wrestlers in it. Rowdy Roddy Piper, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
How old is this movie?
It came out in 2013. I don't even know how I stumbled across it, but it was immediately like I seen who was in it. I seen the title. It's not good. Mm-hmm. It's not good. Kick back, have a couple beers, enjoy a good laugh because it's just terrible, but it's kind of terrible in a good way. Kind of staying in the same vein of wrestling, there's something that is good. Documentary series that's been coming on Viceland called Dark Side of the Ring. I don't get Viceland channel, but Amazon Prime was selling the entire first season, which is only like 6 episodes, for 99 cents. So I bought that and I bought all 6 episodes. I don't know if it was like a lightning deal or whatever, but it was a no-brainer for me. That's a really good show. Kind of goes behind the curtain on some of the more infamous events in pro wrestling. Talks about the Macho Man and his real life relationship with Miss Elizabeth, and talks about a wrestler named Bruiser Brody who actually was murdered at a event back in 1988. Like, legitimately was murdered. And the Von Erich family from Texas and how they were kind of portrayed as strong Christian men when they all had drug addictions, and it's really fascinating. I watched the biggest thing I guess I watched was Vice, the Dick Cheney movie.
Oh yeah, I haven't saw that. Good.
You know, me and Tuck kind of disagreed. I'm not like a Dick Cheney fan after this, but he had drive. Now, I know obviously films are kind of dramatized, and you know, I've never done a lot of research on Dick Cheney, but I feel the way he was portrayed, he wasn't like portrayed, I don't feel, as overly evil in this movie. I don't feel he was portrayed as a hero. I feel it was pretty down the middle. And it was a guy who had drive, and yeah, he cut a few throats and stabbed a few people in the back along the way, but he got to where he wanted to go. And, you know, it, pretty interesting stuff. Solid cast, the same guy who directed and made Talladega Nights did this.
Really?
Adam McKay. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that's kind of mind blowing to think about. He's came a long way. I mean, not that movie was bad. It's just like completely different. So
yeah,
I would recommend it. Good stuff as always. Christian Bale is just a chameleon. So yeah, that's pretty much all I've been watching. I guess lastly, do you got anything? You got any bites for us this week? Little Mike's.
Oh, sure. Why not? Let's see what we can do here. Number one.
Dear Claudia, you should try not to sleep with your best friend's boyfriend. You've come so far since the time when you let your first boy in. And you do it so carelessly, as if you had no self-esteem. A victim of apathy, but you don't care what people say about you. And I will let you in before you break yourself into that. Yeah, I can sleep around in joy and with you. That's it on the ground, but you should know that it's not your fault. If all the kill you see.
There's that one.
I've not heard it, but that sounded that the. The voice sounded really familiar.
The song is called Dear Claudia, and the band is called South FM. No real big radio hits. This was played on the radio a little bit there, and then it kind of disappeared. I don't know if the singer's from anything else, but yeah, this is the one that I knew they had. All right, here's another one.
No clue.
No clue? Didn't sound familiar at all, huh?
It kind of sounded familiar, but...
Okay. The band is called The Storm.
Huh.
And the song is called I've Got a Lot to Learn About Love. But that singer Is his name Steve Perry? The guy from Journey?
Yeah.
Yep, that's him.
Okay. Well, then that's why I'm familiar.
Yeah, that was a little side project he did. And I actually really liked quite a few songs that they had on that album.
Interesting. Yeah, never knew he had a side project.
That was more of a 90s thing. That was Congratulations by the band Blue October.
Okay, now I've heard of Blue October.
Uh-huh. That was off of their probably biggest album, Foiled.
Okay.
Yeah, they've got quite a few good songs. I mean, you have to find them. I mean, there are some stinkers in there too, so they're there. But I do enjoy quite a bit of their music.
Sweet rain of fire, brown eyed skeever who came from a long line of drinkers and dreamers who knew their sunshine. Don't hold up to dirt whose businesses fell, who sweeping the park. Paintings in Paris and outlandish things to her family just to scare us. Who's the heart when broken? Where it shouldn't all, whose mother could only spit at the
that one?
No, but yet again, that voice sounded familiar.
Uh-huh. Singer is Patty Griffin.
Okay.
And the song is called Lorraine. And it's a really good story if you listen to the whole thing and everything it says. All right, man, I got one more for you.
Someone who can make me feel alright. I'm looking at you, you're looking at me too. Yeah, you know what I wanna do. But your girlfriend wants and that to end. Baby, tell me something new. Too bad about your girl. She doesn't know what she was doing.
on that one?
Yes. I'm wanting to say I have. There's an all. Was that an all girl group?
It was indeed.
Ah, shit. They're like a punky top or punky rocky shit.
Uh huh.
Yeah. I'm fucking blank.
Song is called "Too Bad About Your Girl," and the Donnas. That's it.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
That's it. It's kind of weird. They had a really good kind of indie scene there for a while, and then they got big with a couple album or two, and then they disappeared. I think.
They were even on MTV and VH1 on those little talking head shows on, like, I Love the 80s, and then, you know, date this guy or whatever the hell they were, like, I'd seen them on different shit like that, like, during the mid-2000s, and, yeah, like you said, they just disappeared, just, I've not heard anything.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of weird, some bands do that, they work really hard and gain an indie following, and they, you know, really kind of pave their way. And then once they hit it big, something happens and they just, they don't last. I'm not saying they're not making music now. They could be, but I really haven't heard anything about them from years. So I wouldn't know. That's it, man. That's all my experience.
All righty. Well, good stuff as always. If you don't have anything and I don't have anything, bid these good folks a pleasant evening and bid them adieu.
Absolutely. Sounds good, man.
Until next time, take care.
All right. Later. Later. Bye.